This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel reading, Luke chapter 12, verse Heavenly Father, as we receive your word into our lives, topple idols, especially the idol of mammon. Free us so that we may serve joyfully. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm preaching on the gospel, but today I want to start with a quote from the Colossians reading. In God's word, we hear this teaching and encouragement. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are good words for us as Christian people to hear. They're addressed to us as God's people. Encouragement for us to put to death deathly things. But notice that in this list is this: greed, which is idolatry. Now that stands out to my mind, at least, as peculiar. Why does St. Paul, why does God's word here specify that greed is idolatry? How are we meant to understand this? Well, I think it's good for us perhaps to get a picture of possessions, money, goods, as a thing, a god, an idol. Jesus uses the term mammon for all this sort of stuff. And to see it as something that can make demands on our lives, that can tempt us to trust that it is all that life is about. If we think mammon, property and possessions, are all that life is about, we can fashion our life thinking that as long as we have money, then we have security and joy and peace. But if we don't have money, our whole life becomes meaningless and useless. If we order our lives that way, we can see that greed is idolatrous, that our lives are serving a god, but not the true God, rather mammon. So, St. Paul here, God's word says that greed is idolatry. Greed is grasping, serving a false god, mammon, money, possessions. As Christian people, we're to put this to death, St. Paul says. Now, this takes us to the gospel reading, because in our gospel reading, our Lord warns us to be aware of greed, to be careful about it, to see it when it's coming, to see it for the idolatry that it is. And indeed, in today's reading, we're going to hear teaching from Jesus which liberates us from this idolatry. We'll hear teaching from Jesus that topples idols that we can't topple ourselves. Jesus, by his words and his very life, becomes our liberator, the one who frees us from serving mammon, frees us from the idolatry of greed, and gives us a new way of life which is truly joyful and outward looking. Now it's important to know the context of today's reading. If you look at Luke chapter 12, you'll see that it begins this way. Meanwhile, when the crowd gathered in thousands so that they trampled on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. The picture here is of Jesus with a great multitude, a great image of people stumbling over each other, treading over each other, trampling each other. It's a press of people, a real crowd. And yet in this crowd, Jesus teaches, speaks to his disciples. We get this in other places in Scripture as well. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes up to the mountain, his disciples come up to him, he sits down, the crowds are there, and he begins to teach. He teaches his disciples in the presence of the crowds. Well, that's what's happening today as well. Jesus is teaching his disciples in the presence of the multitude. And he's teaching them about persecutions which are to come. And he's exhorting them to give a good confession of faith even when their lives are on the line. So just before today's reading,
we hear these words from our Lord to his disciples. When they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to defend yourselves or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. Jesus knows that when his disciples confess the faith, this will bring opposition, even at the cost of life. And so he gives them words of great encouragement and exhortation. That's what Jesus is teaching his disciples in the presence of the crowds. And then we hear these words. Someone in the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Does that follow, would you say? To my mind, it's a bit comic. Jesus is talking about a life and death issue, about confessing the faith in the face of great opposition, and it seems like someone in the crowd's just been busting to get Jesus to do something for him. Yeah, enough about, you know, persecution and confession. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. You're a religious guy, you've got some authority. I've got some issues with the family. The folks have died, there's a pot of money, and it's not coming my way. Come on, do something for me. Speak to my brother, he'll listen to you, won't listen to me, and I'll get some money in my pocket. Now, problems with inheritances aren't unusual. I would call them normal. Not just because of the money, it seems to me, by the way. Often when people die, they leave possessions which can have a great symbolic value to those who are left behind. Someone perhaps gets a hand mirror. Another sibling complains, "That was Mum's favourite hand mirror, how come you have it?" It may fetch nothing at a second-hand store, but it's property, and the division causes conflict. So nothing unusual here. This happens among human families all the time. It's part of society now. I dare say you've experienced something like it yourself, maybe firsthand, or maybe with people close to you. It happened back in Jesus' day. This guy comes to Jesus with a real problem. It's a real problem, no doubt causing real conflict. And he sees Jesus as someone who can help him settle it. He's a religious guy. He speaks authoritatively. The crowds come to him. Surely he can settle this issue. Now it's worth pausing here. In the Gospels, when people come to Jesus for healing or for mercy, he helps them. Especially, perhaps, when they have no claim on him. Sometimes there can be a back and a forth, but he always gives healing and mercy to those in need. People come for their own need or for the needs of those who are close to them, family members, children. They ask Jesus for mercy and for help, and he responds in compassion. But sometimes people come to Jesus with demands, and he does not give them what they want. His response is very different. They don't come in need of mercy or healing, and they don't come in need for somebody else. They come to get maybe an assurance of their own righteousness, or in this case, financial settlement, and Jesus won't follow where they lead. Jesus said to the man, "Who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? Why do you think that I'm here to solve legal and financial problems? Why do you come to me for this?" Let's pause here. If you came to me during the week and you said, "Fraser, I've got problems with my carburetor," I'd say, "That's nice. I can't help you. You know, if you want the Word of God, teaching from Scripture, proclamation of forgiveness in Jesus' name, intercessory prayer, encouragement in the life of Christian faith, I'm your man. I'm called to do that. That's why I'm here. Car problems, you need to go to a mechanic. Don't come to me also for financial problems. There, I definitely can't help you. You've got more chance with the car, right?" I think that's what's going on here too, at least initially. Don't treat me as if I'm a lawyer or a financial advisor. or even an arbitrator among families. That's not why I came. Do you remember in Luke's Gospel especially why Jesus came, what the text says? He came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he's there. That's why he's teaching his disciples. That's why the crowds are gathering around him. So first, there's a little warning to the man. A question. Who set me up for this role? Why do you come to me for these problems? And then he said to them, now he moves to the crowd, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Now here we have the first of some very liberating words. These are liberating words. Let's hear them again. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, of God in the flesh. Now, we live in a society where we are indoctrinated to think that possessions is what life is about. That having possessions is what gives life meaning, purpose, and security. But we have it on the word of our Lord Jesus Christ that this is not what life is about. That life is more than abundance of possessions. So if that's the only word you hear today and receive, know that it's a liberating word given from your Lord to you. A word which you won't hear from our society generally, but you will hear from God. It's beautiful teaching and encouraging teaching. Especially encouraging if we think we don't have much worth because we don't have much money. If we think our humanity is somehow compromised or limited because we're not as rich as we could be. That's not what makes us human being, money. That's not what gives us identity or purpose, possessions, no. These are gifts from the Lord, lasting gifts, these things, not possessions. Our Lord says so. It's also good for us to hear and liberating for us to hear if we do think that money is all that life is about because we've got a good sum of it. It can free us from idolatry. Hold on, we can say to ourselves, the Lord says money and possessions is not what life is really about. Therefore, my possessions aren't what my life is about. God can free me from this if I'm tempted to serve these things. Okay, so first of all, Jesus says that to the crowds. And then he tells a parable. Here's how it starts. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. Now, what produced abundantly? The land did. Now, it seems to me the picture here is of a wise farmer. A farmer who knows how the land works, who knows how the seasons work, who's prepared the farm well to receive a good crop. But no matter how wise a farmer is, no matter how well prepared the land is, a farmer can't make it rain, can't make the sun shine, can't make the land produce a good crop. In the end, this comes as a gift. Yes, wisdom's involved, but wisdom can't make it rain. It's the land that produces a good crop. Okay. The land produces a good crop. And the man thinks to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. And here we have the beginning of folly. A wise farmer, it seems that he is, but a foolish human being. The first thing he does is think to himself. Who's provided the good things he has? God. But he does not think about God. He does not bring God into the picture. He thinks to himself. If you like, in this parable, the man prays to himself. And he treats what he has as only his. What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. He doesn't bring God into it. He thinks of his possessions as only his own, and he brings in no one else either. What if he talked to his spouse? That could change the picture, couldn't it? Or his family? Or the workers on his farm? Or the people in his community? If he thought outside himself, he would move from folly towards wisdom. But he doesn't. He's hemmed in. He's blinkered. He can only see things from his own perspective. He's serving an idol, mammon. He's trapped in the idolatry of greed. What should I do? I have no place to store my crops. O mammon, how can I serve you? And then he said, I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He's serving mammon. That's his God. And so his thinking is blinded, blinkered, narrow. He builds a bigger barn to stuff the goods in. And then he thinks about possessions in terms only of his own life. And he thinks that he's got it made now. Because he's got plenty, he can go on thinking only of himself, in reality, serving mammon, possessions, acting as if they are the real guide to a good life, a full life, that gives human identity its place. But listen to how the parable ends. God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You think you've got a long life ahead of you? You don't. It ends tonight. Now there's the time of reckoning, of true accounting. And all that stuff you've stored up for yourself, who will get it? Now, do you remember why Jesus is telling this parable? Why is he telling it? Because someone has come to him, do you remember, about an inheritance which is not being shared, which is causing conflict. The man wants Jesus to help out. That's why Jesus is telling this parable, because of squabbles over inheritances. This guy stores a mass of wealth for himself and he dies. Who will get it? People, no doubt, who will argue about it, who will enter into deep conflict. Now, this is a sad reality. Many people in our world work hard in life. They serve mammon as an idol. They get up early in the morning. They work hard all day. They go to bed worried about their property and possessions. And then they die. And then their family has a massive fight about who will get it all. Brother does not speak to sister. Families fall out for decades, perhaps never speak to each other again. That's what comes of it, of idolatry to mammon. Who gets it? Well, sometimes not even the family, but the lawyers from the fights. And then Jesus gives his own summation. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. So it is with them. God also will call them a fool. If we store up treasures for ourselves and are not rich towards God, that's folly. That's not living true life, finding the fullness of life. Now, these are great words for us to hear as Christian people, because we live in a society dominated by possessions and goods, and we think that this message sometimes is true, but it's false. This is not what life is about. Jesus gives us teaching, a parable, and a summary to topple this idol in our lives. You know, left to our own devices, we will serve mammon. That's what we do naturally. No one has to teach us to do this. But God gives us a different way forward. It can help us think about how we actually live our life here and now. If we have possessions, well, what are they for? Well, what can we do with them? A good way forward, simple way forward, is to start to bring God into the picture. God, what should I do with the abundance that you have provided me? I think it's also wise to talk with one's spouse, with one's family, with one's church, with one's community, to open up, to see that the mammon idol is not a real God, that God is the real God. And that in serving God, there is freedom, whereas in serving mammon, there is conflict and death and slavery. So this teaching
illuminates us, shows us that there's a different path, frees us from idolatry. Now there's better news which comes after this reading. Directly after this reading, Jesus then teaches his disciples. He teaches us. He gives us great encouragement about the beauty of creation and about God's desire to freely give us the kingdom. It's in God giving us the kingdom that we are truly freed from idolatry. It's in receiving the free gift of salvation, which lasts forever, that God frees us to see possessions in a different way. But you know, we're going to hear that reading next week. And there's a good chance that Pastor Joshua will preach on it, and I don't want to take the wind from his sails. There's good news, better news even, coming after this reading. But today we have good news. Greed is a form of idolatry. That's how it is. But Jesus gives us teaching to free us from this. He assures us that life is more than about possessions and goods. He gives us warning, in fact, that to act as if it is folly and does not bring joy to us or to others. He frees us then to receive a message of hope, that there is a kingdom which lasts, which God will freely give us. We're disciples here. We're baptized into Christ. We receive this as a gift. God will not hold good things back from us, but make sure that we have enough, more than enough, to live joyfully in life. Well, may God always give us his Holy Spirit so that we listen to the words of Jesus, so that these words topple the idols in our lives, and so that we live freely and joyfully. Let's stand. Well, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.